Brother James Young received a letter from the Reverend Hogan Kim, senior pastor of the Center Church of Truth in Chicago, Illinois. And he's kind of the go-between guy on this. And as I read it, this is a Korean church in Chicago, all right? And so he writes James Young. This comes to us because we're the sending church, and that's where the support goes. This is Pastor Hogan Kim, who currently serves Center Church of Truth in Chicago, Illinois. I have learned some classes from Dr. Phil Pins, a professor at Howes Anderson College. He recommended you and your church as I was prayerfully looking for a faithful pastor who recently started a local church in the States. I used to work together with Dr. Pins to share the good news of Jesus Christ in the Chicagoland area. I am grateful to God that I can connect you to my mentor, Pastor Wu Lee, who is a senior pastor at the Good Tree Church in Seoul, South Korea. So he's connecting Brother James Young to Pastor Kang Woo Lee, who is in Seoul, South Korea. He and his church members feel privileged and honored to be a channel of God's blessing for you and your church. They decided to share this gift to express their gratitude to God and to many faithful and sincere missionaries from America who came to Korea years ago to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. When the missionaries came to Korea in the 19th century, there were few Christians in Korea. But today there are almost 10 million Christians in South Korea, a quarter of South Korean population. We praise the Lord for what he has done for the Korean people through the many faithful missionaries from America many years ago. Below, you can find a short message of gratitude from Pastor Kang Woo Pastor Kang Woo wrote to you and your church. So now this is from Pastor Woo, Lee. I and Good Tree Church members are grateful to your forefathers who took compassion on our Korean forefathers and shared the good news of Jesus Christ with them long time ago, sacrificially loving and caring about them. We are grateful, greatly delighted that we are able to share what God has given us with you, although it is a small gift. We are also thankful to God that we can have fellowship with you through this opportunity. May the great grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your church family. Sincerely, Pastor Kang Woo Lee, Seoul, South Korea, Good Tree Church. Now, what they sent along with this through the church in Chicago was a check for $1,667. And the backstory on this was, you think about this, they thought in the last century, so many American missionaries came and planted churches here that they wanted to find people that were planting churches in America, and they wanted to pay that back. Whew. I mean, that's amazing. What a story. What a story. So I thought, I told Cheryl, of course, I took a picture of the letter and the check and sent it to James and Brother Young, and he was just floored, you know. And then I told Cheryl, that's too good of a story. I got to share that with our people. So anyway, isn't God amazing? And I told Cheryl, I said, you know what? We got to start working out a deal and put it in the contract going forward that anytime something like this happens to our church plant, we get half of it, okay? So you know I'm kidding about that. I am so thrilled to see God's good blessing on these men that have stepped out by faith. But can you imagine such a thing? I just love that the level of appreciation. You know, they haven't forgotten. Here they are generations later, and they're thankful still for the missionaries that won their forefathers to Christ. You know, this is our 50th anniversary. This is a good lesson for all of us right now. You know, let's not forget that we've got a lot of people to be thankful for and a lot of folks that went before us and everything that we enjoy every week. It really is because of a lot of, I know we give God the glory, But honor to whom honor is due. So let's not forget about the people. I think we've tried to emphasize that. I hope it's getting across. I think it is. But we need to stop and pause and be thankful, because there's a lot of people that sacrificed in a huge way for us to enjoy. Now, folks, we're taking a sacrificial offering today. This is sacrificial. You know, it's easy to say, well, we sure are thankful for everybody that gave before we came. Well, it's our turn. Okay? You know, sacrifice and a sacrificial life should be a normal Christian life. If you're living a Christian life that doesn't involve a regular level of, sacrifice, real sacrifice, you're not living a biblical Christian life. And I need to say that to American Christians. I mean, we got more toys and buy more nonsense and spend more money running all over and spend more money eating out. If we get to heaven, you better think about this. Come on, American Christians. Preacher, you just got back. You're supposed to be nice and grateful and thankful. I'm being your pastor right now. But I want to ask you a question. You do the calculating in your mind. If you added up last year, last calendar year, or let's just say from right now to the beginning of this year, if we go back to the beginning of this year, if you added up the money you spent eating out, fast food restaurants, restaurants, eating out, and the money you have given to the Church of Jesus Christ, what would it look like? You know, the truth is, and this statistic is held true for years, that Christians spend more money on cat food and dog food every year than they give to missions. I mean, we need to be shamed from time to time, you know, and sorry if this is a downer, but, you know, I'm a little tired of people looking at me like they're exasperated because we're asking for something sacrificial. Good night. Me and my life has lived a sacrificial life. And let me tell you what we found out. The more you sacrifice, you can't outgive God. Right. You know, if you just step out by faith and get into this life and recognize it, hey, we're not living like paupers. Matter of fact, there's so much flowing through our hands going somewhere else now than we have need of. It's a great way to live. You know, when's the last time God did something supernatural and unexpected financially for you? This happens all the time in our lives. You know why? Because we give all the time in our lives. Right. I am excited about this sacrificial Sunday. We are giving something that affects our living today. Okay, like the widow did. She gave even of her living. If you've never done that in your life, go home and pray about it, think about it, and do it today. Come tonight with a proof before God that you are doing something that affects your living. You know, that's how God's work's going to get done. You know why Korea was influenced for Christ and why we're getting this letter? Because generations before us gave sacrificially to send missionaries there. And now here's a Korean church that recognizes, shows appreciation, and realizes that the country that they owe this debt to is in trouble spiritually and needs missionaries planting churches here. So this is our chance to pay back. I think that's awesome. All right. All right. Are we okay? All right. Amen. Take to heart what I just said, because, oh my goodness, it's the best life. I don't feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for people that don't live a sacrificial life. I mean that. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go there this morning. We're going to teach a series. Brother Joe, I know I had you scheduled and we just talked about it, but he's going to cover for me next Sunday in Sunday school. Me and Cheryl is going to be out of town for a weekend. And Jim Townsley is going to be in town. He's going to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night. Preacher, I know you just got back. I know, but I need to take care of the wife too, okay? And we've been through an awful lot. We weren't gone on vacation, in case some of you were wondering, all right? So we're gonna sneak off. But Brother Jim texted me and said, because he comes in July, around July 4th a lot of times, and sometimes he'll walk in, I don't know he's coming. I'm like, why don't you let me know? I'm not saying I can use you every time, but at least I'd know. And Brother Townsley's a blessing. And you're not going to miss out next Sunday. He'll be here. He'll be preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night. Brother Joe, if you'll take care of that. But I want to take the Sunday school lesson probably for the next 5 or 6 weeks as the Lord, you know, allows. And I want to talk about this matter of the secrets to supernatural peace. Let's just read the verse, and then I'm going to ask you to really think with me as we introduce this series today. Supernatural peace. The older you get, one of the most important things in your life becomes the peace of God. Amen. Okay? I want you to really think about that. Look in verse 4, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here it is, and the peace of God, comma, by the way, I love this phrase, which passeth all understanding. So that's a descriptive phrase describing the peace of God. What kind of peace? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That means there's something that God gives, a type of peace that he gives that makes no sense. You have it when you shouldn't have it. You're okay when you shouldn't be okay. All right? Listen, peace is not the result of your circumstances. If that's the truth, none of us would have peace very, very often. Because circumstances change all the time. And we're living in this old sin-cursed world. But here's the phrase, the peace which passeth all understanding. All right, look right up here, okay? And how many of you, and it's okay if you haven't, I'm not, but how many of you can see that peace that passeth all understanding, look back in your life and say, preacher, I'm not saying I live there and I've lived there all the time, but I have experienced that peace that makes no sense, that passeth all understanding. Would you raise your hand? I mean, God just moved in sometimes and just, I don't know why I know I'm going to be okay, but I'm going to be okay. In the middle of everything going wrong, it's all right. Now, let's be honest now, okay? You want to really be honest? Okay. How many say, preacher, there's been times when the devil has stolen that from me too. And, you know, I didn't have that. And, you know, it's a great place to get to, but it's a hard place to stay. And so I want to talk to you about this matter of peace. And this is, you know, this is just a result. You know, studying the Bible is such a blessing. And it's not just for preachers. I think everybody in here ought to, on a regular basis, do word studies in the Bible. And this is just Pastor Jerry Ross taking the word peace and just going through the Bible and using a concordance and saying, you know what, I'm just going to study this thing out because I don't want this thing to be somewhere, well, I just hope that I get that peace that passeth all understanding. I believe God has put a formula in the Bible that can help us not only get there, but live there. Now, because of our frailties and because of our inconsistencies, we probably won't always be there, but watch this. If we're not there, if we have the formula, we can get back there. But I think some folks just think, well, you know, God either sends it or he doesn't. And it's not, we have nothing to do. Wait a minute. No. He has given us a book. And from this book, it teaches us, you know, formulas. It teaches us, I call them the secrets, even though it's really not a secret. It can be if you don't go dig it out, but it's not like God hid it from us. Right. Listen, I want for my congregation. I mean, I look around this auditorium and there's so many people going through so many things. And I'm also going back in my memory because I'm thinking, okay, I remember when she went through this or he went through this or that couple went through this. And you know, one of the things that I would hope and pray for the people that come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church is that on a regular basis, a consistent basis, you live in this realm of supernatural peace. I don't know what you're going to face this week. Neither do you. I don't know what I'm going to face this week. But you know what? Whatever it is, I just want to, no matter what, you know, the phone rings, you don't know what it is, you know, nobody knows. But no matter what happens in the circumstances of my life, I just want to have that peace. Listen, ladies, I think it's important to you, but you ask the average guy, you know, what do you want more than anything else? And I will promise you, high on this list is peace. You know, you know what every family, every couple ought to want in their home? Peace. I just want peace in my home. I want home to be a peaceful place. I don't want it to be a war zone. I don't want my marriage to be a war zone. I don't want to have to fight with the kids from the time they get up till the time to go to bed. I don't want to come to church. Look right up here. I don't want to come to church and constantly deal with division and problems and, you know, this person's got to have drama and that person's got to have drama. If there's not something going on, they're going to make sure something. That drives me crazy. Amen. You know what I want? Peace. Amen. Amen. There's a way to have it, church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray we just discover these wonderful biblical secrets to peace. And Lord, as we go through this in the next several weeks, Lord, as you allow, I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to learn, dear God, how to get to that place. You want this for us. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You want this. It comes from you. But I believe that it comes in response to obedience to the biblical principles that we're going to go through in the next few weeks. So help us, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a strife-filled world. Strife-filled. A world of confusion. If you study in the Bible, you'll find that righteousness is always connected to peace. Peace and righteousness are mentioned together all through the Bible. By the way, violence is always connected to wickedness. Violence and confusion. Yes. The more righteousness is on the sign out there. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Wickedness plunges it into turmoil. America is in turmoil. Folks, there is not peace. Turmoil. You say, preacher, why? Because we have decided, you know what? 60 years ago, I think I'm right, 60 years ago, this year, we kicked the Bible and prayer out of the public school system. I want to ask America a question. How's it going? How'd that work out? There's nothing wrong. I got it on the sign on the other side. Some of you that come in from this way, you never see what's on the other side of the sign. But there's no problem that America's facing today that couldn't be solved if we would go back to the Bible. There's not one area of confusion that wouldn't be immediately cleared up if we wouldn't get back to the Bible. Moral confusion, gender confusion, trans confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. God's not. Every one of those issues, if we would go back to the Bible, see what it said, and just stand where the Bible stands, believe where the Bible believes, and live where the Bible says to live, all of that confusion would be gone in 24 hours if America would just turn back to the Bible and believe God's word. Amen. And so, because we've gotten away from the Bible and its principles, we are paying the consequences of that. You pray for me. I'm trying to get a book to the finish line, and I haven't been able to write much. I thought because of the sickness and stuff and putting me on the sideline a little bit, it would allow me to be able to write more. But folks, writing is one of the, listen, it's hard work. And it takes a level of mental focus that's really hard to describe. And if you're not feeling good, you don't have that level of mental focus to stay with it. So instead of me being able to get some things to the finish line, it's been just the opposite. I just can't seem to get it, but pray for me. But I'm writing a book that you know, is two-thirds done, and it's entitled A Christian's Guide to Optimum Mental Health. And we taught a series on this. Was it in Sunday school here that we taught the series? And that is so needed, because the mental health crisis in America is literally just a result of us taking biblical patterns of thinking, throwing them to the side, right,
and replacing them with humanistic patterns of thinking. Well, one of the consequences of that, and I know I'm going around in circles here, but one of the consequences of that is when you throw away biblical principles, you throw away peace. You throw away righteousness, you throw away peace. You know, and you open the door to the devil, and he's going to bring in confusion. And, you know, he's going to bring in violence. I mean, all we're seeing, I mean, this is chaos. I mean, you know, a day doesn't hardly go by, or a week doesn't go by, where there's not somebody that just shows up in some public place and just starts shooting people or stabbing people, or they're driving down the road and they just run their car into a group of people and just kill a bunch of them. Folks, that's demonic. That, look at it, that is demonic. Okay, that's not a gun issue. Is it a knife issue and a car issue? It's a sin issue. And so anyway, we got to live in the middle of this. Okay? We got to raise our children in the middle of this. Come on, grandmas and grandpas. I've turned into Robert Ross. You know, when our kids were little, we'd go over to his house, and you know, every time the kids would go to do something, Dad's like, wait, hold on a minute, you know. Hey, they're gonna get hurt, you know. Hey, should they be doing that? You know, parents are like, yeah, they're fine, you know. Well, you either have little ones that are there, but when you get to be my age, all of a sudden I'm like, give my grandchildren whole hot dogs. That they just pick up and are allowed to eat.
Yes, sir. Come on.
I mean, those things are designed to just clog into an esophagus and strangle them to death. So grandpa's over there with a knife and a fork cutting all their hot dogs. And I mean, so I'm turned into Robert Ross, okay? You know, when I was their age, I just did the same thing. I don't even think we cooked them. We just took them out of the refrigerator and handed it to them. It's amazing any of our kids are alive, you know. So I want to say this to the senior saints in here. It's more of a challenge in some ways to get to that peace of God that passeth understanding. You know, we've lived too long. We've seen so many things. We probably watch too much of the news and read too much of the newspaper. And we see, and some of it is this. I was talking to Brother Esther before church. He said, this is not the America I grew up in.
Amen.
So we have a reference point of America where, you know, see a mom and we'd get up in the morning, jump on our bicycles and take off and be gone for, you know, 5-6 hours, come back just because we were starving to death. And, and you know, she didn't care where we went, you know. And, you know, all the neighborhood moms knew everybody's kids. And you couldn't get by with anything anyway, you know. If you did something, by the time you got home, somebody's, you know, some nosy lady had already looked out the window and called your mother and told on you before you got home. But some of it is that we look at what America used to be, and there was a sense of safety, and there was a sense of everybody's going to be okay, and everybody cares about each other, and everybody's watching out for each other. And if you're short of something and a neighbor knows it, they come over and give it to you, and vice versa. And you know, then we look at what America is now, and it's like, my goodness sakes, my grandchildren have to grow up in this. You know, I mean, AJ and Tab is leaving Monday to begin to drive our direction and arrive here, Lord willing, next Friday. And, you know, again, here I am. There had been a time I'd been like, oh, that's cool, that's awesome. I'm glad they have the opportunity to drive across the country. Now I'm like, you know, honey, did you see this story? Somebody parked in a parking lot of a motel and somebody came out and you know, busted their windows. I think Bob and Kim got their windows busted out, didn't they? Was that at a motel? When they had it parked at a motel? Bob and Kim's on vacation now, and somebody busted out their windows when their car was. My favorite story is Doug Castle.
Yeah, that's good.
Driving through Texas. They stop at a motel. He's got his nice truck there, his old yuppie truck. And they check in. And then, you know, next morning, get up, walk out, come around the corner. His truck is setting up on blocks, and all the tires and wheels are gone off of his truck. And there's people, folks, now that just absolutely, that's what they do for a living. There's gangs of people. I'm not talking about some third world country. I'm talking about America. You know, I'm trying to really explain why I can't have the peace that passes all knowledge. I'm doing a lousy job introducing this. I'm telling you, I told Cheryl, I said, I'm going to start this series on the peace of God. I said, not because anybody in the church needs it, because I need it. And I just want to hear myself say some things, you know. But you know, we read and we see and we hear these stories, and it's like, you know, you really can get to the point where just the devil uses all of it. The combination of everything I just kind of said and other things, personal things in your life, circumstances in your family. And it's like, how in the world can we even have peace? And when we hear that verse that talks about the peace that passeth all understanding, it really is like, Lord, if there's anything that I need, anything that I desire, I want to get there and I want to live there. So how do we do that? Well, we got to start with the opening message. We need to start at the starting point. How about this? Peace is a blessing bestowed upon the people of God. The first thing that you have to do if you're going to get that peace that passeth understanding is you have to be saved. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. Listen, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. And you know what? If you're going to bed every night and laying awake and staring at the ceiling and wondering what's going to happen if you die, and you have no assurance, no peace, no testimony, you can't go back in your life and find that place, that point where you fell under Holy Spirit conviction, felt the drawing of the Father, and really comprehended and understood the gospel and realized it was for you, and just by faith called out to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as your personal Savior. Folks, you're gonna have a hard time having peace when you don't even know what's going to happen to your soul if you were to die today. And so there are two very distinct groups of people identified in the Bible, the saved and the lost. There's no in-between group, okay? You know, the old evangelist used to say, you are either a saint or you ain't, okay? You know, you hear the old black preacher say, well, we all are, we're all God's children. No, we're not. A lot of liberal preachers preach that. It's not King James Holy Bible. Jesus looked at a group of men and said, you're of your father the devil. Well, that didn't hardly make them God's children. John chapter 3, two distinct groups of people identified in the Bible. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Don't we love these verses? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now listen, two distinct groups. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the holy begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. They are wrought in God. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, first 10 verses. I love this. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You talk about that false sense of peace. That comes from the devil, a false sense of peace. Oh, everything will be all right. Hey, do you know for sure if you die, go to heaven? Ah, it's all good. It's fine. It'll work itself out. Watch this. Me and the guy upstairs, we got an understanding. False sense of peace. But listen to what it says. But ye, brethren, listen, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye, talking about the saved, are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Okay, so he's dividing us into two groups. You're the children of light and of the day, or you're the night and of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I'm saying all this, we're taking a little time, but it's good for us to park here from time to time. Every single person, listen, I don't like preachers coming in, stand up in front of my congregation. You've heard me say this, and I feel like they're trying to get people who are truly saved to doubt their salvation. And I don't like taking my teens where I feel like that's being done to them. I don't want somebody out preaching to our children that I feel like they're doing that. But, you know, let me also say this. If you don't have a salvation that can stand up to a Holy Scripture, Holy Spirit examination, you need to get one. Because this is not something to mess around with, monkey around with, and just, well, I'm pretty sure I'm probably okay. You need to be able to look back and know for sure. Everybody's testimony is going to be a little bit different how they came to Christ, but everybody's testimony is the same as far as how you got saved. Because there's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so two distinct groups. You know, John 1:12, first of all, it talks about John chapter 1. He came into his own, received him not. But then it says, but as many as received him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, we're all God's children. Hold on a minute. No, we're not. But you can become God's children. You can become God's child. Who gets that distinction? But as many as received him. How about John chapter 8? Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. I just mentioned this. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth. You know, Jesus, again, this whole thing about we're all God's children, that just doesn't hold up scripture. I became a child of God the day that I got saved. Was adopted into the family of God. The Bible phrase is this: I was born again. I was born again. Okay? And I was dead in trespasses and sin. A miracle occurred the day that I cried out to God, asked for forgiveness, accepted Jesus Christ, put my faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. That's an important phrase. Some people don't believe the work of Christ is finished. You know, Jesus, they need to get to Jesus to get salvation, but then they need to do their own good works to keep salvation. It's the finished work of Christ. That's why Jesus said on the cross, it is finished.
Amen.
Okay. Born again, people don't understand what salvation is. They think salvation is a possession. You can get it, you can lose it. It's not a possession like I hand somebody a nickel and say, now hold on to this. Don't lose it. Salvation is a new birth. A new birth. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. That spirit that died, that's dead in trespasses sin, is birthed into life. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just come in and do that. He comes in and stays. And before I was a body and a soul and dead spiritual. I had a spirit, but it was dead. Salvation comes in and you're born again. So if you lose your salvation, are you unborn again? And then if you get saved again, are you born again again? Now, folks, listen to me. We need to get solid on this, okay? There's people that literally will never have peace because they believe in a works-based salvation. And you're never going to have peace if every day. Can you imagine if me and my wife was raising our daughters and every morning at breakfast we set them down and got the Captain Crunch out. Come on now, Captain Crunch. That's good. Good way to start the day. With the berry? Oh, that's blasphemy, brother. That's heresy. That's adding to salvation right there. See? I do like the straw. You know the mini wheats?
Yeah.
You know the little haystacks with the white snow on top of them, you know? And the strawberry ones?
Yes, sir.
Brother, they'll change your life, man. So anyway. But we sit down with our cereal in the morning and I look at our girls and say, now I want you to know right now that all of you are our daughters. Okay? Now, that could change by the end of the day. By the end of the day, me and your mom may have to disown you. So I want you to really behave yourselves because there's things you can do. And by this evening, supper time, we may just set you out on the street and say, you're not ours. Tell me how those children would have any level of security or peace. Well, God's a better daddy than I am. Okay? And again, most frustrated group that's out there, you know, come to see me afterwards. We'll sit down and talk about it. But you need to get past this work salvation thing. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Listen, not of works, lest what? Any man should boast. Why is there always a pride and an arrogance that comes with somebody who thinks that they are partially responsible for keeping themselves saved? And why is there an utter humility, listen to me, to people who realize it had nothing to do with me at all? It was a gift that was paid for, and all that was required of me was that I receive what God had already completely paid for. And with that comes the humility, because you know what? You're not getting lifted up with pride. Oh, but Jerry Ross, I bet you think you're a big shot. No, I know what I am. Amen. I'm a guy that deserves, and if I got what I deserved, I'd be right by that rich man begging for a drink of water, a drop of water on my tongue. That's what I deserve. I know that's what I deserve. Well, why do you not have to worry about that? Not because of the way I'm living, not because of what I do, because of what he did. And I put my faith and trust in what he did. The finished work of Christ. So important. I want our young people to understand this. You make sure your children understand this. The day you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God. By the way, that puts you in the family too. My mom used to stand behind this pulpit and sing, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." You may notice we say brother and sister around here. Why do we say that? Because we're part of a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, come on, we all shed a tear. Rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. You know what? There's safety in being a part of a church family. I want to encourage our people, integrate your life into the church. Amen. I thank God. Listen, over the course of the last 7-8 months, I want to say this. I'm so glad I had a church family. Those of you that have gone through things, it's good to have a church family.
Right.
Amen. Matthew 16:18. "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." There's safety in the church. So peace comes and is bestowed upon the people of God. Let me read Psalms 29:11 again. We'll close her down then. I don't have time to get into the next one. The Lord, Psalms 29:11. "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Now, we're going to get into a lot of other things, because obviously, say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I don't always have the peace of God. Or sometimes I do, and sometimes, you know, it seems like the devil steals it from me, or I let circumstance steal it from me." We're going to go into some really specific things that will help you, but this is a good place to start. Because if we don't settle this matter of salvation and what salvation truly is, then we're going to spend our lives in a certain amount of turmoil. It's hard to be concerned about reaching other people for Christ and trying to get other people on their way to heaven if you don't even know for sure you're on your way to heaven. It's hard to be spiritual if you're spiritually dead. It's impossible to be spiritual if you're spiritually dead. And so the first thing that has to happen is salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, just for your goodness to us. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for making it a free gift. Lord, thank you for loving us, saving us. Lord, securing us. Lord, thank you that we can kind of just lean back into your grace. Lord, thank you that we are in the palm of your hand. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would help us. If there's anyone here, Lord, and didn't really mean to spend this much time on this today, but Lord, we just try to follow your leading. If there's anyone here that's struggling in this matter of salvation, Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would help them, Lord, to come to you and accept the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. Lord, that you would have them settle this thing once and for all. We pray this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.